in the morning. And here we are, a very special guest, Dan, this morning. And we've talked with John Erlinghauser before. And again, AARP, and I'm glad that they are battling what they're battling for us.
Well, John is chief lobbyist for AARP Connecticut. He's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. And, John, perhaps you can explain to our audience, as far as enabling us to wrap this issue within our minds, why SB 106 is being opposed by AARP and why we should be concerned.
So, first of all, thanks, Dan, for having me, and great to finally meet you in person. And, Brad, great to be with you, as always. This is a very complex issue that I think I could kind of boil down very simply, which is that Dominion Power, which operates Millstone Nuclear Power Plant, is a private merchant generator. They have shareholders. They earn a profit. They are not regulated, since we deregulated electricity generation in Connecticut many years ago. Big mistake, but we did it. And what they're looking for is a special deal to be able to get higher prices for their electricity. And yet they're out there telling people this will lower rates. And, you know, it's just a simple proposition. You know, you really can't square that circle, because if you're a private merchant generator who answers to shareholders, and I respect that, you know, that's what the capitalist economy is all about, they have an obligation to get the most profit they can for their shareholders. How in God's name can they do that if they're going to propose legislation that is going to give them a special deal to, quote-unquote, lower rates, as they claim? You can't square that circle. It's just not possible. They want to change how they sell electricity and take it out of the regional deregulated market and get special deals that will allow them to sell directly to Eversource and United Illuminating. But then the thing that's ironic about that is the law today allows them to do that.
Well, that was going to be my question. I thought that law is already in place.
They're able to do that. And the problem, the reason they don't want to do that is because it would be on a cost-of-service basis, the old, you know, regulated model where they would have to reimburse their expenses and a reasonable rate of return. Dominion doesn't want to do that because, in fact, they're not willing to disclose whether or not they're making money or not. Now, they have never publicly said, "We're not making money." And by the way, Dominion Holdings is a company that made $1.6 billion last year, and that's billion with a B, not million.
Not too much.
Not too much, right? And, you know, they don't want to have to disclose whether they're making profits or losses, because the facts would show that they're actually making profits. And this notion of them being at risk for closure is absurd, because they have commitments for contracts to sell electricity in the New England market for the next 5 years. So there's really no reality to their claim. Now, people in Eastern Connecticut, legislators that are supporting this, I think are doing it for legitimate reasons. I don't question their motives. I question Dominion's motives and Dominion's, claims. And the fact of the matter is, there really is no need to do this, and there is no risk of them closing. And, you know, where nuclear power plants have closed in other parts of the country, or even in this region, they've closed because they've been old and unsafe, not because they were uneconomical, and that's really the issue here. So if they're willing to show their books to regulators, AARP and all the other groups that oppose this would be willing to work with them and come up with a solution to help them, because they are 900 jobs in Eastern Connecticut. But the whole piece of legislation is built on a premise that nobody's willing to prove, and ratepayers are going to foot the bill for that. Now, we call it a subsidy. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, I use the duck analogy. If it walks, talks, and quacks like a duck, it's a duck, right? So you're going to pay more. So, you know, you're subsidizing Dominion's profits with higher rates for the consumers. You could look at it another way, and I listen to you guys, and I know this might resonate with some of your audience. It's the legislature, in essence, taxing electric bills without having to call it a tax and having your electric bill be responsible for it, not your tax bills. So that's kind of another way to look at
well,
it.
Well, how do we take this, though? This is very important, and that's why, John, we've got you on this morning. You've been with us before. But how can we, how can the folks that are listening to us, and Dan and myself, help you so that it's fair? I mean, it just – This is not fair.
The very fundamental fairness thing that they can do is disclosure. There was a nuclear power plant in New York that got assistance because they were economically unviable. But as a requirement of doing that, they had to demonstrate their books to regulators who would look at it and determine whether or not they were at a level that was not economically viable because the plant was needed, right, for the generation. And it's important for us to continue to have Millstone. But, you know, they got a subsidy or help or a special deal based on whether or not they were making profit or losses. And so, you know, nobody's opposed to that kind of deal. Everybody has to ask the question to Dominion, why is it that they're not willing to do that? And so, you know, we're asking legislators to simply say no subsidies, no tax, no special deal for what we believe is a profitable plant without them being willing to disclose to ratepayers that, you know, there is a need. And if they can do that, we're willing to work with them because we do believe in them.
Of 8 o'clock, and we are really delighted to have John Erlinghauser with us this morning, the chief lobbyist for AARP. We are up against another battle, and AARP and other groups are opposed to SB 106. Now, this is a bill that would allow the Millstone nuclear plant access to power markets that would include renewable energy sources.
Is that the key, John, the fact that they're getting around this by being indicated as a renewable energy source?
You know,
source?
That's one of the things, and you know, there's kind of new language, and at the end of the day, you know, they may classify them the same as the trash to energy facilities or all, you know, they're trying to create language in such a way that clouds the entire situation. So yeah, that's one of the ways, and that's initially how they were trying to do it, and they may still try to do it that way. It's evolving because every time we kind of see something new and we expose it for what it really is, you know, they try to, you know, change the name of the game in order to really sell the same kind of pig with lipstick on it. And, you know, we're going to just look at this as clearly as what it was, what it is. And I think Dominion has an obligation to answer two simple questions. How could you possibly get us lower rates by cutting out middlemen that you don't already have to use, right? They claim it's all because of hedge funds. Mm-hmm. Dominion uses hedge funds to sell their electricity to because it gets them more money. Mm-hmm. So how could cutting them out and decreasing the amount of money that you bring into Dominion, how could your shareholders accept that? Okay, I can't really reconcile that one. And why is it that if you really need this for economic viability, you're not willing to demonstrate to ratepayers and to regulators that there is that need? It's you know, they like to overcomplicate it, but it really boils down to those two simple propositions. Now, AARP isn't the only group that opposes this. Connecticut Citizens Action, CONPIRG, every environmental group in the state of Connecticut, the large commercial industrial users of electricity, those would be your big manufacturers, are opposed to this. And just, you know, you go down the line. The only major organization supporting this is Dominion Power. Now, if that doesn't tell the whole story, then, you know, I don't know what else we could say.
Now, there are people on the other side who will say that Dominion is not getting a taxpayer subsidy. Can you clarify that for us?
So, you know, in the clearest definition of subsidy, you know, is there going to be a surcharge on your bill, or is there going to be a tax on your electric bill, or is there going to be a tax that says, you know, Dominion subsidy? Absolutely not. But once again, if they create this situation that there is no need for in law, because as I said earlier, Dominion can sell their power directly to UI and Eversource today if they want to, why else would they be doing it other than to increase the revenue that goes to Dominion? And if Dominion is getting more money, then somebody has to be paying the difference. And the only people that there are to pay the difference are ratepayers that are residences, large commercial industrial businesses in Connecticut, and more importantly, the small businesses that are the engine of the economy in Connecticut. So that's why all of those people oppose this legislation, and for good reason.
You know, Dan, I'll tell you something right now. If our friend didn't come in here this morning, a lot of the folks that are listening, probably the majority of the folks that are listening to us, wouldn't even know about this. And all of a sudden, these things hit us, and the next thing we know, we got to a new bill.
So okay. You're convinced that if SB 106 were to pass, that our electricity rates would go up?
Absolutely, Dan. And you know, AARP, we have no skin in this game. I mean, you know, other than ratepayers. I mean, there are people who oppose this because it'll hurt their bottom line, you know, other generators, and I get that, you know, and the environmentalists don't like it because they feel it'll destroy the renewable energy economy, and I get that, you know, everybody has reasons. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the consumer groups, what is our stake in this? It's basically just ratepayers and ratepayer impact, and, you know, for us, it's not relevant whether, you know, we're generating power by nuclear, by natural gas, by any other means. It's really about how is what the state going to do in policy impact rates. And, you know, people will be going all over the state later in the year when Eversource goes in for a rate case, and all the legislators will be going to all these public hearings saying, we can't allow rates to go up. And when UI did the same thing last year, I went to both public hearings, and at each one, legislators were all there saying, we can't let the regulators raise your electric rates. And yet they'll do this. They'll pass legislation that will raise rates that they won't be held accountable for, and it'll come in on your electric bill, and people will go screaming to UI and Eversource and saying, my electric bill went up.
But in reality, it started with this.
You
guys have got this. It's not that complicated. You're right on the money, and I know your listeners understand it, because, you know, they can read through all the baloney, and, you know, we pay the highest electric rates in the continental United States, and it's deals like this. I've been doing this at AARP on utilities for almost 14 years, and it's deals like this that are part of the reason why we keep having higher and higher electric rates in Connecticut.
Where does ISO New England stand in all of this?
Well, you know, ISO has been looking at this, and it's really not clear where they stand. What I do know is that because this is a regional problem, you know, if there is a problem, right, Dominion generates 50% of the electricity that's generated in Connecticut, but because we're deregulated, it doesn't go directly to homes in Connecticut. And if this is a real problem, which we won't know unless they open their books, then it has to be a regional problem, because the New England states in ISO New England are the deregulated states, and there has to be a coordination of generation, meaning we have to make sure every one of those states in the region get the generation they need when they need it, and that the capacity for future needs is always available. And so any solution to this problem, if there is a problem, should be a regional solution, and ISO would be responsible for solving that. Now, what I will say, Dan, is in other states where single state solutions have taken place, they're all being challenged in court because it goes against what we set up when we deregulated the market. Right? I mean, so
that was supposed to generate competition when the market was deregulated.
Right. That's and right. If you listen to the generators, they'll tell you that the competition is working and that, you know, the generation portion of your bill is been the lowest it's been in years. And that's true to some extent. And while if I had my druthers, we would still be regulating generation and we would go back to regulating generation, but if you take the biggest generator in the state of Connecticut, one of the biggest in the region, in the ISO region, and you pull them out of the equation, you're certainly not going to do or contribute to what the generators say is working and what the intention of deregulation was, which was the competition to bring prices down. This smacks in the face of the entire system that was set up in the first place. So, you know, we can't have it both ways. They want to get the benefits of a regulated market without the obligation to ratepayers to show their books and ensure that they're only getting a reasonable profit, not an obscene amount of profit. I contend that when natural gas was high 8 years ago, they were getting obscene amounts of profit. Now they're just getting crazy amounts of profit. Okay? So, you know.
But the ratepayer is paying the price.
We're the ones on the banana peel, as always.
How long do we have to fight this? How long do we have?
It's a good question. So the committee is going to vote on the bill on Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the legislature.
So it's coming up for a vote, this bill.
Yeah, it's coming up for a vote. It was a big mystery for 3 months because the language of the bill didn't show up until the night the blizzard started. So we've seen language, and we're still kind of looking at it and analyzing it, but the basic premise of the bill hasn't changed, and all the groups that opposed it before the language still oppose it. And, you know, we suspect that, you know, sometime in May we'll be hashing this out as we always do with these big, crazy energy bills. And I think they'll kind of hope that people will get caught off guard and not looking when they try to, you know, pass one over. And we're going to be watching very carefully.
So you think it'll go to the floor for a vote then?
You know, my hunch is it probably will. Senator Formica, who believes in this legislation, he's one of the co-chairs of the Energy Committee. He represents the district where Dominion resides.
Right.
And I don't question his motives. I know he's looking out for what he believes to be in best interest of his constituents. So I'm pretty certain he's going to try to do everything he can to get it to a vote in the Senate. It is a Senate bill. You know, I'm not so sure the entire committee believes in the bill, but, you know, usually they don't fight these things out too frequently at the committee level.
Right.
I'm quite confident we can defeat this bill in the House as long as people like you guys help us keep getting the
truth out. Well, we're going to help you.
You know, this is what I mean, and Dan agrees 100%. It's our listeners that we're concerned about, and they don't know all these things. They don't know it because it's not presented. And
so people need to call their legislators, you know, and give their opinion on SB 106?
Dan, absolutely, and Brad, you're absolutely right. You know, they can call their legislators. They can go to the aarp.org/CT website, and there we have all kinds of information about how you can email your legislator about opposing Senate Bill 106. By the way, it's a bill that has this fancy title about lowering greenhouse gas emissions and all this other stuff to try to make environmentalists think it's a great bill.
So that's not really part of it.
No, I mean, you know, listen, nuclear is a zero carbon emitting fuel. Nobody disputes that. And we need that to meet greenhouse gas
right.
goals. So we don't dispute that. But it's clearly not a renewable fuel. It's not wind. It's not solar. It's not a true renewable in the truest sense. So, you know, don't get fooled by the title. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's a special deal for Dominion, and it's going to raise your rates.
Wow.
We got to do something, Dan, and keep at it. And we
well,
will.
We're going to remind people. John, you just got to keep us posted
on
the time frame of all this. You said the vote is on Tuesday?
The voting committee,
committee
is on Tuesday. Energy and Technology Committee, and they meet 11 o'clock on Tuesday, so we'll keep you informed.
Now, will there be any more chance for people to testify, or have we passed that stage?
We're pretty much past that stage. A lot of AARP members and members of the public submitted written testimony because of the fact that we came on your show early on, and we notified people about the public hearing. So we did get quite a bit of public support, but it was awfully hard because there was no teeth in the bill at that point, you know. So now we have, and it's everything we feared, and in some instances worse.
And the website again, if people want to get more information,
it's aarp.org/CT.
John Erlinghuser, always great, John, to have you with us. Really,
Brad and Dan, you guys are great, and
thanks
for getting the word out for us.
You're welcome.
And John is chief lobbyist for AARP Connecticut, and we are going to continue to talk about this and beat this down. That's what we've got to do, or we're going to be paying more money. You wait and see.